Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're heading for the weekend, Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey. Steve will be checking in just a few from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, and we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, which is available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. And you also have access to 3 months of shows archived. We have that for you at stevejonesshow.com. Friday edition of the show, always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. And Corey and the crew have great beer specials through Tuesday the 20th. Miller High Life and Light 30-packs, $15.99. Labatt Grapefruit 12-pack cans and bottles, $7.97. New Belgium Day Blazer, 15-pack cans, $14.95. And also you'll find great snacks, fresh roasted peanuts, and a new stock of Brooklyn Brine pickles and David's Awesome Cookies. Awesome spot. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. All right, so we're going to go hoops heavy today on the show. Coming up tomorrow, Bucknell Bison men's basketball will be on the road at Holy Cross. Live coverage will start in the morning at 11:30 on the network, and the play-by-play at noon on Eagle 107 at 107.3. Team en route to Holy Cross as we speak. And in the next half hour, we'll hear from Bucknell head coach Nathan Davis. Next hour, 4:06, we have scheduled one of the great college basketball writers, and this will make his, be his first appearance here on the show. Dick Weiss, who has traveled up and down the Mid-Atlantic corridor and has documented 4-plus decades of college basketball. And he was in the Jordan Center last night for Penn State, Ohio State, so we'll get his thoughts on last night's matchup. And so much more with Steve and Dick Weiss at 4:06. And then, of course, we wrap up the weekend. What's that?
Did they win?
Oh, you mean Penn State?
Yeah, they won.
They did, yeah. Cakewalk. How about that?
Well,
quadruple blackjack from your broadcast partner last night. Love it, love it.
Well, I walked out last night. Kathy said to me, "What do you think?" I said, they will win with relative ease.
There you go.
She says, "No, really?" I said, "Yeah, really." Sometimes you get a feeling. That was my feeling last night. We had so many things going on here yesterday with technical issues that I didn't really get a chance. I sort of talked about it, but didn't really get too in-depth on it. So, but, yeah. They played really well. And they played really well on the defensive end last night. I think Dick texted me today. Of course, Jack Ham texted me. He says, "I don't want to put any pressure on them, but I made reservations in San Antonio." I said, I texted Jack back. I said, "I'll pass that along to Chambers." I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
What was Bates Diop first half? About 5 points, 6 points?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's you know that you've got a big advantage in a game when the guy guarding your top scorer, your star, has more points than the star does. And that was the story last night with Josh Reeves. He outscored Kata Bates Diop last night. Not only just a question of him shutting him down, which he did for the most part, but also the fact that he outscored him. So you talk about winning a matchup. He absolutely won a matchup. There's no getting around it. But it was the defensive end that provided, and this is the way they've been playing defense for the most part. They have been playing defense like this most of the season. And, you know, it hasn't been perfect. There's some days where your defense just isn't that great. It just happens. You're a step slow. But then you go out and you have many more nights like they had last night. It's the 13th time this season where Penn State has held the team under 40% from the field. They are 13-0 in those games. Now, they played 28 games, so that's almost half the games. That's why Penn State is 14th in the nation right now in the defensive metric. Penn State's 14th in the nation in the defensive metric right now, in points per possession defensively. And that's, you look at, you know, a big reason for their success, it's the way they played defense last night. Yeah, they scored 45 points in the first half. I also thought the play at the end of the first half was a significant sign to everybody in the building. And first of all, the building was great. It was electric last night. I thought the fans were tremendous in last night's game. The play at the end of the first half where, and they've got this play in. And I've watched them run this play so many times in practice. With 2.9 seconds to go, they just could have tossed the ball in and gone to the locker room at halftime because Penn State was going to get the ball to start. Penn State was going to get the ball to start the second half. And they didn't. They threw a length of the court pass, and Josh Reeves has a great arm anyway. That's why he's the one you always select to do it. That's why when he's out of the lineup, you don't have somebody with that same kind of arm. He also has the advantage of being left-handed because as a defender, you're expecting almost everybody to be right-handed. And when he starts moving to his left, you're like, whoa. And it kind of catches you off guard and clears the lane for him to make the pass. And then Tony Carr makes a great catch between a couple of guys. He lays it up and in. They get the basket plus a free throw. And that is the signal to everybody in the building and everybody watching at home that Penn State's not content with what they're doing. They are going for it. I think what you have right now in this campus are a bunch of teams. I'll just single out three of them right now. Football, wrestling, and men's basketball. What do all three have in common? Obviously, wrestling is the best in the country. Not even, let's face it, it's not even close. I mean, even wounded with one of the top wrestlers in America out, they still can beat Ohio State, which is ranked second. But what do all three of them have in common right now? All three are very successful, wrestling being ultra successful. All three are very successful. All three are fun to watch. And they aren't just fun to watch because they win. That's always a big reason why. But they're fun to watch because they're entertaining to watch. Penn State football plays an entertaining, fun brand of football. Wrestling, you watch them wrestle, they go for it all the time. Big moves. I mean, Vincenzo Joseph lost the other night to the wrestler from Iowa because he was trying to go for it. He didn't get thrown, you know, he didn't lose because he was tentative and wasn't trying anything. He lost because he was going for it. Bo Nickel got a pin because he went for it. Mark Hall got a pin because he went for it. Penn State is not only the best wrestling team in the country, they're the most entertaining team in the country. They've done more to move the wrestling needle than anybody in the history of the sport because they're so entertaining. Football wins, but football is really entertaining. Trace McSorley, Saquon Barkley, you know, the wide receivers, a Mike Gesicki. I mean, Penn State's a wide-open team. And now you've got basketball. Penn State basketball team is a very entertaining team to watch. I mean, they've been scoring over 70 points. I don't know, 23 out of 28 games, something like that. Yeah, like anybody, you have a lull here and there. But they're a really entertaining team to watch, and they've grown up. They've grown up. And I think I made this point yesterday, that they are now making that turn from being sophomores to juniors. That probably was my tip-off, I guess, probably in so many words, as to why I thought Penn State was about ready to hit the accelerator. But they've won four in a row, and they've won six of their last seven. They're at Purdue Sunday night at 8. We'll be on beginning at 7:30. But see, they're entertaining. I mean, let's keep it locally. Bucknell basketball. Bucknell basketball is entertaining. They score a lot of points. They're a fun team to watch. I think Joe Susan's football team is a fun team to watch. I mean, they're fun teams to watch. Not just the, you know, the winning part makes, obviously, it attracts you right away. But you've got to be a real fan of a team or a sport when they kind of grind out wins. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to win. But when you've got a team that not only is winning, but boy, they are one entertaining package to watch, that's what you're hoping for. James Franklin's football team's like that. Cale Sanderson's wrestling team, which is the best in the world, is like that. And then, you know, and now you've got a basketball team that's the same way, a go for it mentality out there that's entertaining to watch. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
February is the month of love. And Sunbury Motors Hyundai is spreading the love all month long with the best import value in the valley.
Love.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Set yourself apart from the SUV crowd with a brand new Hyundai Tucson starting at
$23,333.
Or a Santa Fe Sport with savings of
$47.50.
Every Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. When you buy a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you have a dealership that's been satisfying customers for 103 years behind you, spreading the love the entire month of February.
Love.
SMC loves satisfying customers.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And it's sunburyhyundai.com. A tradition of trust since 1915. Come in during February and help them spread the love.
We apologize for Dick and Milton having to wait as long as he did. Sorry about that, Dick. My apologies.
That's fine, Steve. I'll make this quick. Last night's the first I've been to Bryce Jordan for quite a while, and I used to have season tickets. Long story short, that's a very athletic basketball team. They controlled both ends of the court, especially in the first half. Their defense was phenomenal. They pretty much limited Ohio State to one and dones in the first half. The only thing, and they really run the court well because they're so athletic. But the only thing that kind of surprises me or disappoints me a little bit, I think their half court offenses need some fine tuning a little bit. That's their only weakness I saw last night when they got into it, because they really controlled the game. Other than that, so.
When the ball sticks in the half-court offense, I think you're absolutely right. I think when you see good ball movement, which they're, I would say 75% of the time last night, Dick, I thought they had really good ball movement on offense. But in the second half, there was that 25% where the ball started to stick a little bit. When that happens, you're right, that becomes a problem. But when they are moving the ball, and especially when they can funnel it through Josh Reeves because he makes the ball move, they become a very hard team to guard.
Yeah, well, my point is, you know, we had like a 30-point lead and they cut it to 14 because we had too many guys just standing around and hoping something happens instead of making something happen, I guess, is my point. And I saw that a lot.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's how they got back. Exactly right.
But other than that, I mean, they're so phenomenally athletic. They're much more athletic than Ohio State. Much more. And they ran the court well, but they played very good defense, and they rebounded well. I don't know how many block shots they must have had, quite a few overall, or altered shots. So it was a really a good effort. I was surprised. When you watch somebody on television, it's not the same thing. It just isn't. And maybe the crowd was 90% of what kept them in the game for a while, because it was loud. So
yeah, it was loud last night. I'll say this. I did not take my headsets off during breaks because Jeff's trying to talk to me and so forth. But at one point, Dick told me he took his headset off. He says, "I can't believe how loud it is in here."
It was loud. Of course, I'm not used to compared to anything for years. But everybody was really into the game, and it was. I'm glad I was there. That's the best I'm going to tell you. If I had to pick one game
I'm glad you were there too. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you took the time to come over. I think it's great you did.
And I had a guy I talked to today at Bucknell. He wasn't heartbroken, but he graduated from Ohio State. So we obviously with the wrestling and basketball in a short time, he came in kind of dejected a little bit today. I guess I'll let you go.
All right, thanks, Dick. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Bye.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. The one area where you'd look at, you know, you want to get 40 minutes of ball movement out there, you know, and. Well, I completely agree that when Penn State bogs down offensively, it's because the ball sticks. And Dick's right. You know, where the ball will stick, it'll be a little bit too much one-on-one from time to time. But then I think about any event I watch. Let's take football. Remember the Fiesta Bowl game? They went in that 13-play drive. Now, they didn't score, all right? But that was an aggressive drive. Then remember the 3-and-out they had right after that, Sean? Mm-hmm. You're like, ah, right. Well, then they went back to the go for again. So every team has those lulls. I don't care if it's football or basketball. You have a lull because it's really hard to sustain in football over 60 minutes and basketball over 40.
Dick was wondering
but
about
if
the,
you could do with the bat.
7 blocks last night for Penn State.
Yeah, 7 blocks last night, and I want to say 5 steals. The blocks and steals are something that have been, in combination, a big number for Penn State this season.
8 steals, actually.
And this is, I think I meant to say 15 overall was the number.
There
so it's
go.
8 and 7.
Bingo. Mm-hmm.
And they, when they do that, they've got control of a team. And that's been a big number in combo this year for them, blocks and steals. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Up next, Nathan Davis on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet Reagan Street Sunbury wants to see you and thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and somewhere on the road to Worcester is Nathan Davis. Coach, welcome. Thanks a lot for moving your schedule around to accommodate us. I appreciate it personally. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you having me on once again.
All right. I know you work on a lot of situations in practice. Have you worked on that situation before against Colgate?
Well, of course. We had that plan from the beginning. The game was never in doubt, so we've been working on that for weeks going into that game.
Well, good. I'm glad. See, that's a well-prepared coach. 10 by 10 with 58 seconds to go. Let's practice that.
Yeah, of course. obviously, we were pretty fortunate with the way that one ended.
Yeah, all right. There are a couple ways in terms of fortune how it ended, but good teams also create their own endings. When you were around them, what kind of confidence did you still sense in your players when you were in a spot like that?
You know, they were all, every time we were in a huddle, they were all just saying, keep playing, keep playing, keep playing. That was the focus, and like you said, it's a good team, and yes, we had some fortunate breaks our way, but we still had to make some plays to win the game, and we made some shots, we executed some traps, and were able to get the ball back. But again, you got to give our guys a lot of credit for just sticking with it and making plays when they presented themselves.
Kimball McKenzie ends up hitting what turns out to be the game winner for you in that one. What has he meant offensively, and what does he do to spread the floor and give you spacing?
Well, I think he's – well, first off, obviously, he's a really good shooter. He can make difficult shots. He scores three levels. As much as that, he's got a great feel for the game, so the ball moves better when he's in the game and he's available to play. And there's not a guy that's got more confidence in himself or player than in him. So the ball seems to find him in big moments. Even last year in the semifinals, he makes a big three against Navy to kind of ice that game for us. So it was really nothing surprising to any of us.
You also have to have people that are willing passers when they're in the post. What kind of passers is Nana Fallon become, and what kind of passer is Zach Thomas become?
They're both really good. I think the big thing is they both typically just are willing to make the right play and go into the last possession. That's all we're talking about. You can back over here and make a shot or make the right play.
Now you get to this point, you come out of something like that. How did you want to treat it normally? Just get back to work, get back to class? How did you want to treat something like that? That really, I think, shocked them, but also at the same time may have shocked even your team.
Well, I think the great thing was after the game when we got back in the locker room, the first thing I heard was our seniors, Nana Fallon, Zach Thomas, Steve Brown, talking about how we got to learn from winning too, and the things that we did to put us in the position we were in. We were down 10 with a minute left. They didn't want that to happen again, and not lose that game, but be able to come out of it and learn lessons and go on to win and perform in the next game. I thought was a big deal, and getting started with those guys and the leadership they brought.
How about you on the sideline? All right, you know, obviously, look. You and I both know that these are 40-minute passion plays every single night. What about you in terms of your ability to try and control an emotion, try to either keep spirits up or maybe at times say, look, you're not playing well? How do you like to handle it? How do you keep yourself in the moment?
Well, I think the big thing is you got to focus on what you can control. And you can't control balls, you can't control shots going in. You're just trying to look at it as how do you get in the best position to win. And honestly, I'd be lying if I said at the end of the game when you're down 10 with a minute left, I'm thinking more about how am I going to explain this away and how are we going to win this game.
Right. Well, and then they do that. So when you looked at the tape, what put you behind? And when you looked at the tape, what put you in a position to win?
Well, going back and looking at it, I thought the big thing was that we had some breakdowns defensively. We actually guarded them pretty well. I was not, as we were watching it, going back to the same watching it, I wasn't really disappointed in the way we defended them at all. A lot of it came down to we had missed some shots that we got some pretty good looks for. And that's one of those things you've got to be able to overcome when you're not shooting the ball, is just finding a way to win games.
What kind of competition are you getting on the practice floor right now? Do you have guys that are playing second and a little bit into a third team that have the ability to push your starters, make them better?
They do. The problem is more, from our standpoint, just the way our schedules fall on playing. We played three games in a week and then four games in 8 days over the last really 2 weeks, so we haven't had a ton of real practice time. It's been a lot of walkthroughs and kind of shooting practices before to really be able to get after each other for an hour and a half or so. But when we have been, they certainly are able to get after each other, and the practice competition is very good.
Well, you had a little bit of time this week, so what was the point of emphasis?
To understand that that, yes, we're in a position where we've won the regular season and all that's great, but our goal is to be as good as we can be. And there's little things that we need to continue to improve on to get to the point where at the end of the year we can say we were as good of a basketball team as we can be. A lot of that comes about the consistency and performance defensively, our unselfish offensively, our willingness and our focus being ready to shoot the ball and make simple plays.
Nathan, what will make Holy Cross a tough matchup?
Well, I think, first off, they're playing with a lot of confidence. They've had a couple guys suspended in their first game. They really struggled, but since then, I believe they've won their last two games. They play, unlike us, where we want an up-tempo game. They really want to control tempo and play a lower-tempo game. And so that always challenges you to sustain possession so that you don't end up giving up offensive rebounds, falling asleep and giving up layups or giving up open shots so that you can give yourself a chance to make a run, because, like I said, we want to play games in 70 possessions. They want to play games in the 50s or 60 possessions, which is certainly going to slow the game down.
Right. You just talked about possessions. Has your team done a better job of valuing possessions, knowing what time of the year it is?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we went through a stretch in the beginning of league play where we were frankly just turning it over at too high a rate, and really in the last couple of weeks we've gotten much, much better at that.
Coach, good luck coming up against Holy Cross. Appreciate your time very, very much.
Thank you.
Nathan Davis joining us on the road somewhere in Massachusetts, closing in on Worcester, or as they would say there, Worcester. I've heard that pronounced so many different ways. Worcester, Worcester, it's Worcester. It almost gets comical as to how you hear how Worcester is pronounced sometimes, which I understand if you don't live there. Just like you'll have people in Ohio, for example, it is Lancaster, Ohio, but here it's Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So it's different, but Worcester.
And people that aren't from here and they see New Berlin, it's New Berlin, not New Berlin.
New Berlin.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It's New Berlin. There's a town north of Worcester that is spelled like it's Leominster. Leominster. It's Leominster. It's like, okay. Ah, all right. So much for town pronunciations. We do it all here on the show. Dick Weiss next half hour. My brother with picks in the final half hour. Having some fun today on the show. Nittany Lion basketball team won last night, taking out Ohio State by 23 in the Jordan Center. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The great Dick Weiss will be on, Hoops Weiss, joining us in the next half hour. Hear from the great man himself. Hoops was at the game last night. In fact, rode in with Dick last night. Dick Girardi rode in with. Boy, I'd like to be a fly in the wall on that trip in. Wow. And the euphoric feeling, obviously, around that. Look, the season's far from over. It's absolutely far from over. It's only February the 16th now. You got three more regular season games in the Big Ten tournament. And then I think it's pretty obvious now Penn State's going to get some form of postseason play. And I would think that they'd be in a good spot for that right now. No, what that is, we'll find out. Right now, they're 28 in the KenPom rankings, 25 in the ESPN BPI rankings, 37 in the Sagarin, and then the outlier continues to be the RPI, where they're 74. But that's been like that all year. But there is obviously something lingering over college basketball right now, and it continues to linger. And that is the report put out. Now, Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports was in the courtroom this week, and he put together a report that was really, really in-depth and interesting about the corruption in college basketball. I mean, where the headline says that it may take down Hall of Fame coaches, top programs, and lottery picks. So let's read to you part of this article just to give you some background, because, again, he was in the courtroom this week. This is what Pete Thamel writes on Yahoo Sports. It's been 5 months since the FBI arrested 10 men in a sweeping federal probe into the underbelly of the basketball world. As the three ongoing criminal cases resulting from the investigation plod along, it is increasingly unlikely there'll be another wave of double-digit arrests. Okay. More legal charges could still come, but what's becoming increasingly clear as the discovery portion of the case comes to a close is that the breadth of potential NCAA rules violations uncovered is wide enough to fundamentally and indelibly alter the sport of college basketball. Pete Thamel goes on to write, the soundtrack to the three federal basketball corruption cases is essentially a ticking time bomb, which will inevitably explode. It will impact every major conference. It will impact Hall of Fame coaches. It will impact a score of current top players. And it will impact some of the nation's most distinguished and respected programs. Pete Thamel goes on to write, multiple sources who have been briefed on the case and are familiar with the material obtained by the feds told Yahoo Sports that the impact on the sport will be substantial and relentless. Sitting under protective order right now are the fruits of 330 days of monitoring activity by the feds, which one assistant U.S. attorney noted Thursday was a huge amount of material. What does that material include? Wiretaps from 4,000 intercepted calls, thousands of documents, and bank records obtained from raids and confiscated computers, including those from notorious NBA agent Andy Miller. Quote, this goes a lot deeper in college basketball than four corrupt assistant coaches, said a source who's been briefed on the details of the case. When this all comes out, Hall of Fame coaches should be scared. Lottery picks won't be eligible to play, and almost half of the 16 teams that the NCAA showed in its initial tournament show over the weekend should worry about their appearance being vacated. Now, this isn't going to happen right away. When he means vacated, that means maybe a year from now it might have to be vacated. But that tells you at least an indication as to who might be in the neighborhood of trouble. So check out the 16 and start thinking. There's a general expectation that this information will be released. It could come in trial, pretrial motions, or released by the government at some point. No one is certain if they've agreed to eventually give it to the NCAA if it does not go public. Pete Thamel continues to write, so how bad could it be? In terms of NCAA rules, multiple sources told Yahoo Sports that the material obtained threatens the fundamental structure and integrity of the sport, as there's potentially as many as 50 college basketball programs that could end up compromised in some way. Again, Pete Thamel writes, potentially as many as 50 college basketball programs could end up being compromised in some way. Among the documents expected to be in the federal government's protection are the bank records of Miller, who bankrolled middleman Christian Dawkins, who is the center of two of the cases. Quote, if the NCAA is going to get Andy Miller's bank accounts, God bless them. I don't know what they're going to do, said another source with direct knowledge of the situation, chuckling at the thought. He says, you better start changing rules. The crazy part of this business is none of the kids are free. NCAA officials are staring at the prospect of a tournament with a winner that will likely be vacating its title and many others eventually vacating their appearance. There's a lingering mushroom cloud over the sport's upcoming showcase event that won't go away. The most fascinating and tricky variable here is time. There's a protective order on the evidence found in discovery in all three cases. Whether the information gets out in drips and drabs or is released at once, the consequences are expected to be severe. The government is not compelled to release the information, according to Daniel Richmond, a former federal prosecutor in the Southern District of New York, who now teaches at the Columbia Law School. Sometimes never, he said, when asked generally about the timing of a release of info. says the main sources of release will be in the course of pretrial motions and trial and or related investigations go overt. What's certain is there's enough compromising information to rock the sport to its core. There will be, quote, thousands of pages of documents, hundreds of hours of wiretaps with voices of prominent coaches brokering deals with the middlemen, sneaker executives, and talent traffickers. Will it trickle out or get released all at once? That's complicated and procedural. Pete Thamel continues to write, the NCAA's involvement in this case so far has been minimal. They've been in constant contact with federal investigators, careful to respect the boundaries of the criminal investigations. Whenever the investigation is released from under protective order, the NCAA will have to come to respect the boundaries of the criminal investigations as they begin their own. Miller's financial activity is expected to compromise dozens of programs and players, but he certainly was not a rogue agent. Rather, Miller was jockeying for clients in a competitive field where agents consistently exhibited similar behavior. Miller, of course, did not return a call for comment. The routine nature of agents, runners, and financial advisors operating in a world rife with payoffs, bag drops, and kickbacks leaves the federal investigators at a fascinating crossroads. The biggest mystery in this case is why more high-profile coaches and agents haven't been brought in, said the source who's been briefed on the case. As witnesses paint a picture of the depths of corruption in the basketball world, the feds need to make a decision whether they want to expose other sneaker companies, agents, and coaches. So far, there's been no indication that they're prepared to do that. Pete Thamel continues to write, the basketball underworld is sophisticated and nuanced, a black market forged over decades of moving players. Even with all the wiretaps and documents, the feds are still catching up as to how it all worked. Quote, the craziest part of all that is that they could have walked into one of 15 agents' offices and it's just as bad as the other agent's office. There's been a flurry of activity in the case in the past week that has conjured some optimism for defense attorneys. A Wall Street Journal report says an undercover FBI agent is under investigation in a motion filed revealing paperwork errors appeared to poke some holes in the case. Those matters will ultimately have to be addressed, but any momentum that the defense attorneys thought they had was abruptly and tersely halted Thursday morning. Judge Lewis Kaplan, presiding on the 26th floor of the Daniel Patrick Moynihan U.S. Courthouse in Lower Manhattan, denied a motion to dismiss one of the cases with the legal equivalent of a Dikembe Mutombo finger wag after a blocked shot. Lawyers for three of the defendants, Adidas executive Merle Code, Jim Gatto, and business manager Christian Dawkins, had filed for a motion to dismiss their cases. They were told no. Kaplan listened impatiently to Gatto's lawyer and said, quote, that's quite a stretch. Are you kidding me? I've actually read the indictment. That's not good. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street and Sudbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills is second to none. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.